that's something that so many podcasters end up having a problem with, which is like not continuing or being wishy-washy with the release of their episodes. So for me, it's discipline. And it's also that desire. I really, truly had that burning desire inside to put together this show that I knew could reach people all over the world. And there were just endless possibilities of what you could do there with my young children at home with a microphone, you know, in my living room. If you feel that deep desire for something, whether it's podcasting or something else, I really wish people would act on it, because those are the things I think that we're here to do.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcasting Success Secrets. My name is Hector Santia Esteban, and I am your host for today, merely the facilitator of Wisdom and Insights. Our special guest today is Brittany Crossan, and she is the founder of Fun Love Media. And we're going to talk about social media. I don't know if it's marketing. That sounds like it's not the right word, but we're going to talk about social media and how you can grow your show on it. So Brittany, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having me, Hector. Yeah, social media marketing, but you're right. That does sound a little like rigid.
Yeah, when people hear that, I think they bring a lot of preconceived notions and they bring a lot of stigmas and the whole sort. So before, I always like to help handle this question, because there's one of our listeners who's going, yeah, Brittany, but why should I listen to you? And I don't know why they make that voice. They might sound like that.
They would make that voice. That sounds
they
right.
They might. They're like, I've been doing this and why should I listen to you? And I know you've got a team of people that you do this for. You got clients that you do it for. But what's the kind of take us on whatever steps of the journey you think are relevant to this and catch us up on that. And then we'll dive into some of the tactics.
You should listen to me because I genuinely love podcasting. I was an actor and dancer and such growing up and into adulthood. And that was always the number one dream, was like Hollywood, Broadway, the whole shebang. And whenever I thought about having a podcast, it just felt like, it just felt good. Because somebody like me, I want a show. Give me a show. Whatever. Let's have an audio show. Let's have a video. Let's just put on a show for people. So I come from a place of genuinely loving to have an audience and connect with them and do whatever the heck I can do. And I started my podcast, the Social Sunshine Podcast, because one, I just, like I said, always want a show. But I had recently started my business, Fun Love Media, and we focused on social media. And I was like, could talk about social media. I don't know. That goes with my business. Cool. Let's do this. So I come from this perspective of a showman and someone who really genuinely has passion for that. So I actually really care. I didn't even really start it thinking like, oh, this could market my business and I'll have some sort of strategy. Like, I just came at it from as someone that wanted to do it and wanted to get in front of an audience and have fun with it. And that's what I've done.
And what was it about the podcasting specifically? Because you could have, and I know that you have an Instagram and I know that you do these kind of other things, but what was it about committing to podcasting? Because it is a big undertaking, but what did you see in the medium or the art form, if you will, over some of the other platforms like a blog or a newsletter or something like that?
I started listening to podcasts regularly in 2015. And I remember this distinctly because my family and I lived out of state for 1 year because of my husband's job. My kids were babies. And I only worked part-time in the family business from afar, from a long distance. And I had that life. My kids are much older now. They're 9 and 12. And listening to these shows that I listened to at the time, which a lot of times they were like pop culture, fun shows, because I love that sort of thing. I was so inspired by it. I went, wait a minute. These women who were famous, well-known women from TV and comedians and whatnot. But I still saw it as like, wait a minute, they're fitting this into their life. They're like me. They like to have an audience to connect with people in that way that you can with a podcast or any kind of show. And they could make it happen. They could do it from their home. They could do it from their office. But you have that kind of flexibility mixed with the power of the technology that like somebody in Norway is going to listen to me from here in Houston. It was just like, to me, so fascinating. So I chose it because I had started to love podcasts back then. I didn't start mine until 2019. So there was a bit of a gap back in 2015. And like I told you, that's just what I gravitate to as a form of content, because it really is putting on a show of its own rather. And I did do the blogging before, and I've done vlogging, and I explored all the things, but it just felt so nice to know that. And also to know that I'm a disciplined person. So I can commit to something if I really want to do it, and I'm going to do it. There is no doubt about it. I'm going to follow through. So since I started my show in 2019, I've never missed a week the whole time. And I just know that about myself. So I think that if someone listening, you know your strength, lean into it how you can. So I know that if I commit to something I love and I enjoy, I'll do it. And that's what I've done. So that's where I came from with choosing podcasting and then really being able to stick to it because I knew I would enjoy it. But I think we don't always remember to lean into our strengths. We'll try new things left and right and change things all the time. But it's like, hey, think about what you're good at and what you love and go with that.
That's now, we're recording this in 2023, but who knows when you're listening to this?
2024.
That's been life. So who knows where we're at anymore? Over that time, were there moments where you thought about quitting or giving up? Or was there ever times where it was getting tough to maintain that consistency? And then how did you either work through or overcome those times?
I have never thought about quitting my show. That's just the honest answer. I may not be a relatable answer, but that's the honest truth. I've never thought about quitting. I committed to this. I was in it for the long haul. I knew I wanted to do it. I don't know how it will change. Obviously, who knows in the future? Like maybe it'll become a different show or something, but I knew I was committed to it and I've never wanted to quit. But I will say that is it convenient to commit to doing something like this every single week without missing a week for that many years? Yeah, it's inconvenient sometimes, it's a pain in the butt. It does benefit my business and my life. It's part of that machine, as a lot of people probably can relate to, but it's a pain in the ass sometimes, especially at the beginning doing it alone. Oh God, here we go. I'm going to sit up tonight and edit this freaking podcast episode by myself. But then honestly, once you are able to hire people to help, it's still work, right? Like people like to say more money, more problems. I say more people, more problems. And I love people. I love people. But you know what I'm saying. So either way, whether you are able to hire help or you have to do it yourself, it's still work and it's still a commitment. That part of it is just, it is what it is. And I think I just knew what I was getting myself into because I really took time, like multiple years, to think about this and wait for a time that felt right for me.
Yeah, it seemed like you had a clearer vision. I just posted a video the other day about, and I don't know, I can't really take credit for it, but it's like the concept of getting to 50 episodes. I heard somewhere that pod fade happens around 7 and it's 50% of episodes, 50% of shows don't get to 7. So it's okay, get to 7. I say like launch with 10 so you can get out of the gate there. And then yeah. It's 25 and is like the next kind of benchmark. And now I'm coming back to me. This is all thanks to wonderful Tracy Hazard. So go back and listen to her episode if you haven't. But she said 25 is like the next benchmark. Like the cliff where people fall off on. And then 50 is that like third and final benchmark. And she said that like that 50 mark, once you get to 50, like usually the people who get to 50, they're able to continue on. And excuse me, let's take that one out, Paige, please. Excuse me. It seems like if you get to 50 or like what you're talking about, you have that longer term runway, you're able to figure it out. You're able to push through some things. You have that kind of right mindset. And some of the inconveniences don't get in the way as much as if you're like trying it out or seeing how it goes, or it's let me do 10, 15 episodes and see how many people listen. I find that gets people into a lot of trouble.
Right. Yeah. Either go for it or don't thing. If you're wishy-washy in the middle, you're right. If I'm going to try this, it's not really a commitment. Now, it doesn't mean we're not all going to do everything we do forever. And it's totally understandable. Life changes, work changes. But you're right. Like just saying I'm going to try it or being wishy-washy about it. If you want true success as a podcaster, whatever success looks like to you, of course, then you're going to have to commit. And even like people now, it's more common to do seasons. Maybe they're not doing shows year round. Maybe it's, I can commit to doing one season a year. And sometimes we'll do that with clients. It'd be like, look, it's 30 episodes for the year. The other however many weeks, what is that? 22 weeks. I can't do math. You got your little break. So sometimes that works for people. But an audience, to me, I was already used to social media. I was used to live audiences with performing my whole life. And then I move on to social media audiences and now it's podcast audiences as well. So what I know about it, I know a lot about an audience. And one of the things I know is that they want to count on you. Like they want to know that you're going to be there. Think about your favorite TV shows, especially back when we used to watch them come on once a week. We'd be so excited looking forward to that next episode.
And bummed when it didn't come on or something.
I know. Happened. It's horrible. Imagine you've got some big fans out there. Maybe you don't have as many as you want yet, but you will. And even if it's just a few dozen of people that genuinely love your show, like they're looking forward to it. And so an audience loves that. So to me, that's where that drive for the consistency comes from, because it's don't be flaky, Brittany, and keep it together and deliver the goods for these people.
I've likened a podcast to a book in the sense that a lot of people used to write a book because in the world that we come from in entrepreneurship and people that are using this as a vehicle for their business, because the book would be great for thought leadership and speaking and expertise and all the sorts. And podcasts can fill a lot of those same veins. The challenge is it's like an inverse sort of relationship. And what I mean by that is writing a book is usually like a 3-year process, right? It's maybe a year to lay it out, outline it or whatever, get it started, get your feet wet, like a year to write it, a year to edit it, something like that. I've been talking to a lot of people and it generally is that sort of process. So at the end of it, people can go on the stage and they can say, ta-da, I'm here, I've got this book, and everybody claps for them and the accolades come and they're able to get that what they were looking for, that thought leadership, that expertise, all that sort of stuff. The challenge is, and I've seen a lot of authors come into the podcasting space and they think that same thing when they launch it, there's like a ta-da, you know, a moment for them. And it's they're like, wait a minute, nothing's happening yet. And it's like, you're at the beginning of that process. And usually by year 3, it's interesting that people start to see those same sort of things happen. The audience starts to come around, the speaking opportunities start to come around, people start to like all that monetization that they thought would happen usually happens right around. It's done in public. So people are seeing that process in public, whereas most of the time the authors are writing and editing in private. The process is the same, but I think people's expectations, they come in with it a little bit warped.
You're right. And I think that whenever we link our expectations to something that has to do with technology, that's whenever we really want those quick results, because technology's quick. And we, all of us that are here right now, we have really witnessed like some massive transformations in technology from like our childhood to where we are now. And a lot has changed and it's fast. But you're right. Whenever it comes to this sort of thing, you're still creating a thing and it takes a while to, but it's unique because you have to create that shit publicly. Like, people are going to watch you while you're writing your book, so to say. That's something that's interesting to me too. I listen back to my early episodes and I don't want to hear it. It can feel like so embarrassing sometimes whenever we were new at something, but it's the people that are willing to feel a little silly, maybe look a little silly in that rough first patch of time, which could be quite long. Those are the people that are going to prevail in the end, because you got to look a little dumb for a while, probably. Maybe not, but most people.
Yeah, this has been really fun. When we get back from break, Brittany, I'm excited because we're going to get into some of these strategies. And what's interesting is that similarly, we started out as a kind of agency and backed our way into doing a lot of the other work as well. And I've got lots of questions. I'm sure you've got lots of answers. Y'all stick around. We're going to get into that right after this quick break. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Cool. All right. We'll do a quick ad read and then we'll hop back in. Hey, y'all. Today's episode is brought to you by Podcast AMA, and we are a community of podcasters, and our motto is that the group is the guru. Chances are that you've searched out there for lots of podcasting advice, and there's way too many Google results for you to be able to find, for you to be able to figure out exactly what's right for you. And so we created a community where you can come in, ask questions, get help specific to your podcast, and we have free free hangouts every 2 weeks. So if you go to podcastama.com, that's podcastama.com. I'm going to spell that one, Sheej. You got it. That's podcastama.com. And you can get signed up on our newsletter and find out when our next event is. All right, Brittany, this is your world. And I'm excited to dive in because I mentioned before break that social media, it's a black box, I feel like, that a lot of people, they know that they need to crack, but they're maybe scared to do it, or they tried it and bit them, or who knows what happened. But I think it can benefit all of us. So what I'd like to attack it, though, is I'd like for you to start by sharing maybe what it's not, right? I think a lot of people have these preconceived notions about what social media marketing or growing your podcast on social media or growing a business on social media. Like, they think that it's all these things. I don't know what those things may be. I would imagine that the common excuses are, well, I don't have time to do all the posting, or I don't have time to do all the commenting, or I don't have, you know, I'm not a good video editor, whatever the excuses are. I'm curious what you might say to that, and if there are things that people are thinking and myths, if you will, that we can kind of bust.
Yeah, that's a cool question. I never have anybody ask me that about social media. Social media is not ruining the world. Social media is not bragging. It's definitely not those two things. And social media is not a waste of time. Those are just the three things off the top of my head. The ruining the world one is a big one. That's a topic for another time. It's really about realizing that, I don't know, almost like accepting it in a way. Because like you said, like a lot of people are like, I think, yeah, I guess I should be doing that. But it's like hard to dive in maybe. And I think just more and more education and more awareness around it, just like any topic, because in the big picture, social media is young in the big picture of everything, and especially using it to like market a business, market a podcast, and be strategic about it. Back whenever I started using MySpace, and I was super stoked, by the way, about MySpace, there was no strategy. It was just to make things look cute. I think that it's just still young. So I think the more that people can educate themselves and just learn, the better. And it's going to feel, you're almost like conditioning your mind to realize, oh yes, okay, the social media thing, it actually matters and it's going to help my show.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. I'd imagine that some of our listeners are younger, but some of them might come from a time like before the internet. And I think about marketing and advertising before the internet and after the internet are like totally different. The best example, and I love my mom, shout out to Jenny out there, but I look at her flyers that she makes. She just vomits as she does some events for the local Elks, and they throw ragers actually for old people. She puts together this flyer and she just vomits as much information about the event onto the page, right? There's just time and date, like literally everything that you could possibly imagine. And the whole thing is just writing. And it's like this spam thing. But I think about it, like, what did people used to do? They used to post on like bulletin boards, and you used to like, literally, that's what you would do. And people, I think, are treating it the same sort of way, where they're just like vomiting the info, the product, their benefits and features at them without doing what you were talking about, which is like speaking to the story and telling this narrative about the business or the person.
Everything has a place. Everything has a home now. So there is a place for the word vomit. And it's called a website. And that's cool. That's where it goes. Or it's some sort of landing page. It's this kind of thing. And because some things do require a lot of words, and that's okay. But that's where that goes. Not necessarily in your broad marketing materials. So that's why, for example, clips, a video clip of a podcast do well on social media, right? Because you got short attention span here. So they're only expected to watch like 30 seconds maybe of it. And then it's to pique their interest, of course, to have them listen to the whole thing. So it's the same kind of thing. You're right. It's just everything has a home. There's a place for tons of info. There's a place for less. That's why they talk about funnels and things with social media. And we don't do like ads and things. We do organic, but it's still essentially a funnel because you want to attract people broadly at first, and then you bring them in. It's like, okay, now come listen to an episode. Oh, maybe you join my email list. Maybe you do this, and you bring them all in.
Yeah. And I think another thing that we're seeing is we are working with a lot of C-suite executives who they're seeing this as a great way to build their personal brand and kind of get their personal brand out there. But that concept is also very new to them, because it used to be that the only people who had a brand were celebrities or athletes. But now it's not that everybody has a personal brand, but it's moving closer to that. And similarly, people are treating their brand like they were treating a Craigslist ad, or like they're treating this bulletin board ad. I think they're missing out on the story that's behind it. And they're just giving, I don't know what it is, like the equivalent of the date, time, and location and that sort of stuff, as opposed to actually helping people to understand the story or the narrative or the person behind those things.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Stories are everything. And I think that a lot of people maybe don't realize that a lot of things are stories. I think that it's not just the traditional way you think of story, like someone literally reading you a story, but you can tell stories in different ways and build up a brand in that way. And it's more powerful too, whether you're doing this like through audio on your show, or you're doing it on your social media, or both, or whatever, because people are just more likely to remember that. There's all these studies that prove that people remember stories. They remember if you share a piece of your life or something that happened or what inspired you to start doing what you do and whatever the story is, right? And people are going to remember that rather than maybe some numbers or statistics or facts that you've listed out about your business.
what I'm reminded of is that person who they start a show and all of a sudden they're so stoked about it and they're like, I got to post and promote on social media. And then all of a sudden you look at their feed and every single feed is an episode graphic that doesn't change very often. They switched out a couple of words on the graphic and now their entire Instagram feed is just episode art. And I think that's to an extent, okay, people now know you that you have a show, but then also a lot of times people start to tune that out and it starts to become,
It's not interesting to see the same template over and over again. But it's interesting though. You walk a fine line because an audience of any sort also likes to feel comfortable and they want to feel familiar. So repetition is actually really great in marketing. But you're right. There's this like interesting middle place you need to be where you do have the repetition, but you got to toss in some other stuff and mix it up a little bit to keep it interesting. So you really actually need both.
Matt Gilhooly, who's a friend of the show, does a really great job of this. And he starts and he weaves in stories about his guests. He finds old photos from him that relate into the kind of the origin story. He finds reasons to talk about the show without just saying, hey, go listen to my show.
That's
He's
cool.
telling these other sub smaller stories that they all lead back or remind or harken back to the theme of the show. And I think he's done a really good job of it because I know at the beginning he was posting and it was all just clips and episode art, which was great. But I knew that, like you said, that only goes a certain way and we had to start to mix it up. And he's found some creative ways to do that.
That's really cool. Any way you can mix it up. I love that. Like going back and finding old photos and stuff. That's a cool idea.
I avoid my old photos, so
yeah, don't work for everybody. But no, you're totally right. Getting creative with that, you can have your routines. I think that feels good for us as creators, but also it does feel good for an audience. But again, you just gotta toss in something a little bit interesting, a little bit out of the box, something to pull somebody in. And a big thing in social media is I'm gonna use that to get attention, which we should, by the way. That's one of the main reasons why you want to use social media is get attention, but then not really deliver the audience much after you got their attention. And I understand that not every post can be this long video of a podcast and all these things, right? They've got to be shorter. It's more efficient and it makes more sense. But make sure when you're choosing the content to share from the show, if you literally just took a clip from the show, make sure it's a complete thought. Make sure that someone could listen to that or watch that and then actually take away something from it and maybe go take action and improve their show, their life, their whatever they're doing, rather than it just being like some sort of short thing that's just, oh, we got your attention. Now go listen to the episode. And I understand there's strategic cliffhangers and there's things like that, and that's totally fine. But you've got to still also deliver value and like a complete thought to the audience because they don't always want to click and go somewhere else. Sometimes you actually get more out of your relationship with your audience by just delivering the value right there where they're at. And when you do that and you show them that you're really pulling through for them and you're delivering good stuff, they're more likely to go and listen to your show elsewhere.
Yeah. And I think that's especially important with a lot of these AI tools that will clip up your show and find the best clips. I can't tell you how many times they're a great starting place, but they do a lot of that where they stop in the middle of a thought. They start in a place that is not ideal. And so they're great starting places. But for us, we go back and forth. I can't tell you how many hours of discussion we talk about, like, how do we pick a good clip? Like, what does that mean to pick a good clip? And because it's important. I think that's the differentiator a lot of times is the clip actually valuable? Of course, you can throw on captions and you can throw on emojis and all these kind of visual stuff, but you can do all of that. If the clip is not good or it's not clipped the right way, it's still not going to perform.
You're 100% right. It really matters. It's like a little miniature movie trailer for your episode every single time. Got to get people excited to go listen.
I'm curious. We've got to convey great content and great value. I think that's a given. But then there are all these different hacks, if you will, that are available or white space or algorithms, or there are all these kinds of little things that might give us a little bit of an edge. Are there any things that you're excited about that podcasters might be able to utilize when it comes to certain mediums, certain types of content, certain platforms, certain tricks or techniques on a given platform? Just anything that you think someone might be thinking like, oh, that's a cool thing. I didn't know that we could do something like
that. Yeah, and I see a lot of cool things. I think that it's actually this specific topic is another thing about like leaning into your strengths and also what makes sense for your audience. So what I mean by that is that when you are sharing social media content that's about your podcast, you want to use your talents and your strengths and your abilities, right? So like you might have a host that maybe they don't have a way to have video and they've got to get creative with it, but they're good on Canva and they can design something that's animated that actually may even have moving parts and almost a cartoon-like thing that goes along to the audio for the clip. You see what I'm saying? Like you just think of the things that you feel like you'd be good at and enjoy. Because again, like I said earlier, when you get into it, something and you enjoy it, you're less likely to quit. You're going to keep going. So I really think it's about that. And I know that there are universal trendy things and all that stuff. And that's cool. If you want to make a strategy that's social media heavy and you get into it and you use certain trends, certain sounds in the background, all these things, and that makes total sense. But if you're not, if the big bulk of that piece of content you've created to put on social media doesn't help you shine and you're in what you're doing and help you show your abilities so that way you're getting people to see what you can deliver to them, then it's not going to matter. It's like what you said about adding the emojis and things like that's cute and that's cool, but that's not going to solve the problem. So I think people just need to think, doesn't matter how everybody else does it, do it how you need to do it. I mean, I follow a show and now I can't think of the name. They really do have an actual animated thing. What show is that? There's actual like animation.
If you have Adobe, the Adobe Suite, I think it's Adobe Express, you can upload an audio and it will create and put a character that will mouth it to your audio already.
I love that sort of thing. And not very many people do that. And I think that's cool. But if you are somebody that loves to be on camera, then go for that video and do that editing like you were saying, like really cut it down, but then have the complete thought in there and just use your strength, right? And then mix it in with some universal trends that you're researching and learning are a good thing in general on social media at the time. And when you mix those things together, you really do end up having magic. It's just, I know it's not easy because not everybody's just this natural like marketer or, and you were saying earlier about people having personal brands, like almost everybody having a personal brand and how used to it wasn't like that. It's true. I used to just be like the TV spokesperson, like the news person or the actor. And now everybody's expected to be like on camera talent. And I know that's difficult for some people. So that's why you've just got to dig deep into what you know how to do well and try to work that into every single piece of content you make. You're going to have more fun anyway.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Brittany, if people want to go deeper in your world, stay connected with you, where and how's the best place to do that?
You can find me all over the internet. You can go to Instagram, Brittany Crossan. My show, Social Sunshine, is on Instagram. But honestly, just make it easy on you. Just go to Brittany Crossan on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook or LinkedIn, and then all of the links for all of my other things. My show, my company, and my membership, which is Small Biz Social Society. It's free, by the way, now that we are in 2024. Hector, we're not in 2020. Just this year in 2024, we made the community free. It used to be a paid community, and Small Biz Social Society is for mission-driven entrepreneurs that want to stand out on social media and be around other content creators and just really network and learn together. And it's like intermediate and advanced level stuff. It's smallbizsocialsociety.com. It's free. We'd love to have you.
I love it. Very cool. Go get connected with Brittany. And hold on, Paige. Sorry. Last question here for you, Brittany. In your opinion, based on your experience, what is the secret to podcasting success?
My secret to my podcasting success has been discipline and desire. The discipline that I have to commit, and that's something that's just a deeper conversation within all of us as individuals to develop discipline and confidence. And because I know I had that built up nicely, I would be disciplined and I would be able to deliver those episodes. That's something that so many podcasters end up having a problem with, which is like not continuing or being wishy-washy with the release of their episodes. So for me, it's discipline. And it's also that desire. I really, truly had that burning desire inside to put together this show that I knew could reach people all over the world. And there were just endless possibilities of what you could do there with my young children at home with a microphone in my living room. And it's if you feel that deep desire for something, whether it's podcasting or something else, I really wish people would act on it because those are the things I think that we're here to do.
Yeah. Fantastic, fantastic advice. For everyone who made it this far, we appreciate you being here and part of the Pod Fam. We would love and be forever grateful for a review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know someone who's has a show, is thinking about starting one, hit that share button, send them a message, and let them know you were thinking about them. And as always, we appreciate you being a part of the pod fam. We'll see you on the next one. Later, y'all.